Amen. Your memory verse was, John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. That's from Acts 1:5. We're looking at the miracle of Pentecost this morning. The miracle of Pentecost, and fancy name. You know what it means? 50 days. Okay. Pentecost is 50 because I'm going to open, just to give you a little bit of a background before we get into, we're going to be primarily in Acts chapter 2 and then some other verses, but it says, this former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day that he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days in speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So Jesus ascended 40 days after the resurrection. Pentecost was 50 days after that, and the promise of the Holy Spirit being given. And again, it says in our memory verse, you'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost. One thing I want you to think about, keep in mind, be very careful about building any primary doctrine out of, I mean, stuff you're going to hang your hat on in the church age, in Matthew, Acts, and Hebrews. Matthew is a transition from the law, the Old Testament, into the New Testament with Christ coming. It's the first book of the New Testament. Okay, and people get confused with the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. I'm not going into all that stuff this morning. But you have to be careful because it's a transition. God is still dealing with the Jewish people very much directly. Acts is a transition from the law being done away with and it being truly holy in Christ. The law not having, it was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And so Acts is a transition book. And if you look at amongst evangelical or biblical, not necessarily biblical, but it's all biblical. I want you to understand, be very careful as you criticize people who don't use exactly the same Bible as you do. You don't have to defend the Bible, you use the Bible. You don't defend a sword, you swing a sword. All right? So I've got to be very careful. Well, we're right, they're wrong. Okay, we can believe that, but that's not how you reach them. Amen? But what you have in not understanding certain things with it, with Acts and then in Hebrews, well, in Acts, you have the confusion that comes out of people don't understand the biblical application of tongues. And that's caused a lot of confusion in the body of Christ at times. You look at the book of Hebrews, and that is the transition with the Hebrews, the Jews, to the Gentiles, but it's also very much a book that's going to become alive for them in the tribulation as God turns back to dealing with the Jews, his chosen people. And I want you to understand that when you look at your Bible, there are transitions. You know books you can hang your life on? Romans, all the way through Philemon, okay? Because it's Hebrews is the, you know, written to the Hebrews. James is to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Okay, there's a certain application. And so I want you to understand, the whole Bible is for me, but the whole Bible is not about me. Okay? And so, you know, it says baptism. You know, that John baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Baptism is a transliteration of a Greek word. It comes from the word baptisma, which means to immerse or to put fully into. That's all it means. That's why when we do baptism, we don't pour water on their head. We don't sprinkle them because it's immersion. And it talks about being baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's being fully, when you get saved, you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You immediately are put fully into the body of Christ. And the Holy Spirit is fully immersed into you. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So you have the background of that. And God used here the feast day of Pentecost to get the attention of many Jews. Because, as I told you, Jesus first came to speak to his chosen people. The gospel was spread by the apostles. When the church first started, it was a Jewish church. Okay? That's like today when you have what they call Messianic Jews. They're saved Jews that hold on to the customs and traditions, but they look at the fulfillment of things in their custom and traditions, pointing them to Christ, and they trust Christ alone for salvation. They're not keepers of the law for salvation. They're keepers of the law because they believe that's how they will best please God. It will always please God more when you keep the law. Amen? Because transgression of the law is sin. So they used the feast of Pentecost to get the attention of the Jews, and he performed an amazing miracle. We're going to look at that. And that miracle was used to authenticate Christ's message to them when they had rejected. Because you're going to find out God doesn't just give a person one opportunity to accept him. The Jews weren't given just one opportunity to accept Christ as their Messiah. Things started changing after they stoned Stephen. And there's things going on in Acts. You need to understand that. The sign of tongues was not only to get the attention of the Jews, but it was also conveyed God's wonderful works. When it says cloven tongues of fire, and we're going to see that, all right? What does cloven mean? Divided. It was split. You know, a little flame, a split flame. They saw it as tongues of fire. Not just a single flame, but the flickering of that, okay, as a symbol. That's all the cloven tongues of fire it was, and it was a special appearance of the Holy Spirit dealing with those men. And you need to understand that it was the empowerment or the baptism of the Holy Ghost that caused people to be a great witness. Tongues were not given to all. So I just want you to know, a church that teaches that you have to speak in tongues to get the initial baptism of the Holy Ghost is misapplying Scripture. All right? I'm not trying to be mean. I have charismatic or Pentecostal friends. Okay? We can agree on what we can agree on, and then we can not agree on the others. But they're still what? If they're saved by faith through grace in Christ alone, you know what they are? That my brother and sister in Christ, just like you've heard me, many of you think, well, I don't agree with Pastor on that. And I always tease, and they say, you can be wrong, all right? But I can be wrong, okay? Because there's only one who's perfect, and that's God, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. They're never wrong. They're always good. They're always right, okay? So you have that. So you've got to be careful, you know, Jesus, you know, and the apostles try to say, those that are for us are not against us. We're in a day and age where the world needs to see the Spirit of Christ reaching to them. And we don't need to spend all our time around lost people pulling down saved people who don't agree with us. Am I offending you? If not, good. If I am, let's talk about it. Okay? Because I want to emphasize what we have in common in Christ. We can deal with the other stuff. Okay? How many of you have people in a family, extended family, that you're family with, but you don't want to spend all your time with them? I have a lot of them that like they think that way towards me, okay? But I want you to understand, we are a body of Christ, okay? We're the bride of Christ. And so you have that part of that balance. You need to keep that in mind. It's okay to believe you're right. It's also not right to beat somebody with that. You understand me? Okay, because the emphasis needs to be on Christ and his word. Okay? Strong meat belongs to them who are of full age, having their senses exercise therein. Some people spend more time defending the King James Bible than reading a King James Bible. They'll spend more time doing that instead of using Scripture to help somebody. Because if a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are, restore such a one in the spirit of. That doesn't mean beat him with it. Okay? That's just extra. I said I had fun. I handed out tracts like crazy. Judy made me promise if she has to go there, she has to lose her eye, she has to deal with cancer, wherever we go, I'm going to hand out. She says, you're going to hand out tracts when I can't. You hear me? And if Mama ain't happy, I handed out 45 tracts in 3 days down in Philadelphia. And I was telling Pastor Kenny, I handed tracts out and didn't realize it. Went walking with AJ. We had to get some air. You know, Jude's in pain. She's on the medicine. She says, I'm okay. And AJ goes, Dad, let's go for a walk. And we walked a couple of blocks down in central Philadelphia around where we were staying at. And we're walking, and I'm handing out tracts to everybody. And you know, the rudest people are white Anglo-Saxons. They are. Black people take tracts. Okay? Asians take tracts. Hispanics take tracts. Okay? Indian people take tracts. I want you to know. The people who are going to turn you down generally are the ones who look like this church looks primarily. And I'm handing out tracts and we're walking around and I stop and I give this one tract. The guy looked like he was a street person. I don't mean that badly, but he was disheveled, a little unkept. And he's standing out, leaning against something on the street corner, on the street lock as we're walking by. And I stopped and I said, sir, can I please give you something to read? It talks about Jesus Christ. And he goes, I'll take it, but I love abortion. And we went, I said, well, Jesus loves life. And we just walked, okay? That's all it was. And I looked at AJ after, and he's just laughing. AJ's laughing at me. And he goes, I go, why would he say that to me, AJ? And AJ goes, Dad, look across the street. That's the offices of the ACLU. Look behind you. The guy was standing outside the Philadelphia Planned Parent Abortion Clinic. And I'm handing out tracts at front of an abortion clinic. And didn't even know it. But at least he took it. I love the story from Pastor's father. When Pastor Kenny, his father, pastored in Colossus, he had a man come join his church who was a farmer. And someone had given him a tract to somebody, and the guy threw it at his car window, blew in the field. And this farmer with a Scottish voice, because I love to hear him read the King James Bible. You want to hear it? The way it's supposed to sound? Have somebody do it with a Scottish brogue. The man stopped, saw the thing fluttering, got off his tractor, picked it up, got saved, and ended up joining that church in Colossae. You never know. See, Holy Spirit works if you're willing. And when you think it doesn't work with somebody, you don't know. I want you to understand that. And you got to understand the Spirit empowers us to be a witness. God can do great things through those who will wait on Him. That's the hard part, isn't it? Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So that means waiting ready. Be ready always with an answer for the hope that lieth where? Within you. Okay? And so they turn around and tongues are for a sign. All right? I want you to understand that. We'll look at the verse on it later. And signs are for the Jews. Gentiles don't require a sign. The Jews always do. First sign in the Bible you see is Moses sticking his hand into his cloak, pulling out leprosy. Sticks it back in, pulls it out, healed. Healing is a sign gift. It's going to come more into play in tribulation. It's for the Jews. Signs and healing, they're, you know, and tongues were for a sign. Not for them that believe, but for them that believe not. Okay? You got to understand that the book of Acts is transitional. There are things that happened back there that do not happen today. Holy Spirit was given when in the thing we need to. I want you to look at Galatians 3. Go get Galatians 3 and Ephesians 1. You do that for me? and then I'll get into the lessons. I haven't even got past the introduction, and I'm in trouble already on time. You can tell I haven't taught a while. Pastor Kenny will tell you, when you're a preacher and you got stuff to say and you want to give out God's word, it kind of builds up and then blows up like a verbal vomit sometimes. So please forgive me, all right? Galatians chapter 3, look at verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Christ, that we might receive the promise of what? The Spirit through faith. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. So you got to hear God's word. You got to hear the scripture, right? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the. Why you've got to, that's why you need to hide it in your heart. It'll keep you from sinning, and it'll be ready for you to use to tell others. Whom you trusted as ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after it ye believed. What'd you believe? The word of truth, the word of God. After that ye believe, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. God is the King. The seal is only opened by the King. It's the seal of a king. You're sealed unto the day of redemption. Ephesians chapter 4. This is New Testament salvation. Verse 30, and grieve not. See, can you grieve God? I'm sorry, when my mind is not in line with God's mind, when I'm not walking by faith and I'm walking by sight, you know what that does? That grieves the Holy Spirit. It grieves the Holy Spirit. When parents invest their time to train their children and then their children go against everything that they've been taught is right, the parents don't stop loving, but they do start hurting for them. Amen? Okay, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are what? Sealed on the day of redemption. All righty. So we understand that this is the demonstration of the giving of the Holy Spirit. There is no cloven tongues of fire today. There wasn't after Pentecost. That was a particular miracle and a particular dealing with tongues, all right, that the world doesn't practice properly. So open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. I said all that to bring you to this. First 13 verses. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with what? One accord. And that's the way it's supposed to be with believers. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. You will only be filled with one accord when you don't make it about you, but that you make it about Christ. When you have a higher goal, you can set aside your carnal differences, the fighting, okay? In a church, in a church family, like I said, we have people, we really love them all. You may not like them all, but you can be of one accord, okay? And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with what? Notice not unknown tongues. It was unknown to the disciples. They weren't linguists, but it was other tongues. As the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Because they had been dispersed. And they've come back because of Pentecost. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and they were confounded because that every man what? This is the miracle of the tongues at Pentecost. Every man heard them what? In what? Always remember that. The disciples spoke, They didn't speak at that moment Parthian and Greek and Latin and Scythian. They spoke, and the Holy Spirit made those Jewish proselytes hear it in their what? Own language. Now, this was noised abroad that the multitude came together and were confounded because every man heard them speak in his own language. See, they were all of one accord. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And then because of that, all those that were hearing were amazed. To me, that little message in my Bible, it's all, okay? All of one accord, all filled, all amazed. When the filling of the Holy Spirit comes on a person and you witness to somebody, sometimes it just opens doors and God uses that to minister to them in their hearts and they're amazed. Not at how smart you are, but at how great your God is. And they marveled, saying in one another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? They weren't considered really worldly renowned people. How that every man in our own tongue wherein we were born, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and in the parts of Libya and Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we all do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were what? All amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of what? What they want to do? They want to discredit it, think it's a bunch of drunks talking. See, and you got here, there were about 120 disciples there. They had all gathered and on the day of Pentecost, and they were waiting for the promise that Jesus spoke. Luke 24:49. We got a lot of scripture verses. We'll try to do this quickly. I promise, but I always don't do that well. Okay. And it says in verse 49, this is Jesus speaking. He says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father, what? Upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Where the Spirit of God is, in the word of a king, there is power. So you have that. Now, look at Acts chapter 1. I read to you verses 1 through 5. Okay? And so I want you to see, they were sitting there, the miracle began to happen, and it was the sound of it filled the house. Acts 2:2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. They were inside, and this stuff spread outside. Okay? Why would it be a mighty rushing wind? Scripture with scripture. John chapter 3. Verse 7, he says, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is what? Born of the Spirit. The wind there is a kind of a picture. It's a type of the Holy Spirit working in them. They all saw the coven, the split tongues as like fire, and it sat upon each of them, 120 of them. It didn't say just the 12 disciples. And these tongues symbolize the divine power that God would speak through them. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. They began to speak with other tongues. That's foreign languages, not an unknown language. It was a language spoken on earth. In the Bible, it started getting, you go to the book of 1 Corinthians, you find it started to get perverted. Okay? Because it's easy to make a claim. It's much harder for that to truly be the work of the Spirit. Can the Spirit do that if He wants to in this age? Yes. All right? It just better match what Scripture says and be done with Scripture, because it may not be the Holy Spirit. Outside of this lesson, early in my salvation, because I'm a reader, And I read books on the occult and a bunch of other things in relationship to Christianity. And one of the earmarks, it's also because I was, you know, I was a fraidy cat Catholic. You can spook me. Just dump around a tree. I'll scream like a girl and swing at you. All right? But I grew up, I was allowed to watch The Exorcist as a teenager. You know what that demon-possessed girl did? She spoke in tongues multiple times. Anything that the Holy Spirit can do, the unclean, the unholy spirit will try to imitate and counterfeit, because the Antichrist is a counterfeit of Christ. All right? So just got to understand, try the spirits whether they be of God. Amen? They'll do it according to God's word, if it is of God. Okay, so they were all, the Spirit gave them utterance, and it was to draw the attentions of the Jews. I read that in Acts chapter 2, verses 5 through 12. It got them. 1 Corinthians 1:22 says, for the Jews require, or no, it says, for tongues are for a sign. Not for them that believe, but them that believe not. Okay, the Jews require a sign, 1 Corinthians 1:22. The tongues are for a sign, 1 Corinthians 14:22. You should mark them in your Bible. Okay, if you're going to talk about tongues to somebody without being an attack idiot, you should use Scripture. Amen? His word doesn't return to him void. They don't need my feelings about it. They need what God says about it. Okay? They were amazed. Some mocked, said they were drunk on grape juice. That's what the mocking was. That's what new wine is. New wine is not fermented wine. It's the pure blood of the grape. All right? And they were thinking they got drunk on grape juice. What you saw there was the baptism of the Holy Spirit that comes out of our memory verse. For John truly baptized with water, but ye should be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days. Hence, that got fulfilled. And it would unite all believers as one. That's the purpose. John chapter 17. John 17. The Holy Spirit is a uniter, not a divider. So if your words come out of your mouth and they taste divisive, stop. I didn't say you can speak the truth in love, but if they come out divisive, you need to pray where your heart is. Is it your personality or is it the Spirit's personality? A word fitly spoken is like pitchers of silver. We're just ready to fight at the drop of a hat. That's my old nature. I'm going to come at you. I'm going to cut you. I'm going to slap you. I'm going to scare you. I'm going to run like a baby. Okay. John 17, look at verse 21. Now watch, I'm verse 20. This is Jesus. It's the high priestly prayer of Christ. And he says, neither pray I for these alone, that's for his disciples, but for them also which shall what? Believe on me through their word. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That they all may be what? As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. You see that picture? It's unite the believers. It's to comfort and teach. John 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to you remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He's the Comforter. A lot of funerals, people's had memorials, they've had family losses recently in this church, extended family. Blessed be God, the Father of mercies and the Father of all comfort, who comforteth us in any tribulation, that we may be able to comfort others where with the comfort we ourselves are comforted of God. He's the Comforter. The Holy Spirit is a comforter because he's a uniter. You with me? Okay. All righty. Someone puts their faith in Jesus Christ, they're saved, they're baptized with the Holy Spirit, and they are sealed. Okay? Colossians 2:12. I gave you some of this a little bit. Colossians 2:12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through faith in the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. See, you're saved. All right? Now, Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. They're to see Christ, they're not to see me. And this was the baptism that John spoke of when he came to baptize. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew 3, John says in verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. And he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with... When you reject the baptism of the Holy Spirit, eventually you receive the baptism, and there's a lot. You can give me different interpretations. But one of them is tormented in these flames. It's either the Spirit... or it's fire. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with... See, you see why my interpretation is it follows the scripture? Unquenchable fire. It's baptism of the Holy Ghost, baptism of fire. You reject the one, you're going to be immersed in the other. You can't escape that. So you have the miracle. The message is Peter stood up and then told him that the same Holy Spirit that talked about was the one that was working in them. Turn to Joel 22. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum. So Joel chapter 2. Verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days I will pour out my Spirit. And I will show, and then here's where it separates, because you didn't have a complete fulfillment of that, because this passage in Joel is just before the second coming. This is going to have greater emphasis during the tribulation. And I will show wonders in heaven and in the earth, blood and fire, pillars of smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord. See? That's pointing to the second coming. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in the Mount of Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. See, you know what you don't hear talked about in that passage? Now, Peter points to it to give you an illustration. This is that Holy Spirit, same moving of the Holy Spirit. You don't hear tongues talked about. It's not brought up there in Joel. Okay, context is Joel is the tribulation, the beginning of, in the start of the millennium at the second coming. The word prophecies, obviously that didn't happen at Pentecost. What'd they do? They spoke in other tongues. All right? They spoke in other tongues. Now, Acts chapter 2, verse 16. But this was what's spoken by the prophet Joel, and it came to pass in the last days that God said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above. I just read you the passage. Okay? Some of that, those prophecies in Joel, did not take place there, did they? They weren't totally fulfilled. So you be careful. And miracles were happening. There was miracles. There was wonders were signed, and they proved that Jesus Christ was God. That's what Peter preached. You look at verse 22. And ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. They couldn't deny the miracles. The lame walked, the blind see, the deaf spoke, and the dead were raised. Okay? They couldn't deny the miracles. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of them. See what's taking place there? Realize? He walked 40 days amongst them. The graves opened. At that time, some of the dead raised and walked among them for 40 days until he ascended. Many infallible proofs. And this is what they're pointing back to here. The God who raised others wouldn't be God if he couldn't be raised himself. Turn to Psalm 16. We're going to come back to Acts 2, so keep your hand there. Psalm 16. I'm trying to go here. Psalm 16, verse 8, the Psalm of David. He says, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices, for my flesh shall also rest in hope. Why? For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer what? Thine Holy One, that's Jesus, to see what? Corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. That's a prophecy about the resurrection. Okay? When they saw Jesus, he didn't come out of the tomb like in there being afraid, like it was with Lazarus, because he said he's been in the grave 4 days. He what? Stinketh. No, he did not see corruption. He made his soul an offering, all right? But he did not see corruption. So you see that fulfilled there. He prophesied the resurrection of Christ, Acts 20 or 2. David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. And he tells them, men and brethren, let me speak freely unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us today. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God hath sworn an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to his flesh, he would raise Christ up to sit in his throne. Seeing this before, spake he of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. David prophesying about it. He's preaching the resurrection. The power of Christianity is not that our sins were paid for on the cross. It's not that Christ was buried and he took those sins to hell. It's that he rose sinless and ascended and seated at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for us. The power of Christianity is the power of a resurrected life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a... All things are... Behold, all things are become new. It's the power of the resurrection that secures your eternal security. You with me? That's the power of God. Hell could not keep him. If Jesus had been dead, he could not have sent the Holy Spirit. He sent him to us. He proved that he was God. It's proven by his resurrection. They had been witnesses of the risen Christ. I won't make you turn there. You see here. Psalm 110 and verse 1, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He ever liveth to make what? Intercession for us. That's that power. That's what we need. David prophesied of the resurrection. Peter's preaching focused on the great crime they had committed. They crucified him. They weren't ordained before the foundation of the world to be lost and to murder the Messiah. Did God know that would happen? Yes. You know, not all the Pharisees took part in that. Joseph of Arimathea, others. Because God always allows, in his omnipotence, and I've been reading a book on that and dealing with that fact that the understanding of when I have a better understanding of what who little I am and how great he is, that I can draw close to him, and that's his power. And it's through a relationship with him, and it's shown through his word. Where the word of the king is, there is. And the relationship, it matters most where you are with Jesus. Not what your neighbors, your friends, and everybody think of you. My Savior comes before my wife. Now she comes before everybody else. But my Savior comes before her. And she would tell you the same thing. Your relationship with Christ. It's not in the lesson today, but I want to ask you, who's your Isaac? What's your Isaac? Think about it. They rejected, they crucified their Messiah. The resurrection was promised, and it was a sign seen in the prophet Jonah. He was swallowed of the whale, spent 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of hell, in the depths. So it says, no sign shall be given thee other than the sign of the prophet Jonah. 3 days, 3 nights, and then was sent to be God's witness. So you have the miracles, you have the message, you have the multitude. Acts chapter 2, okay? Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They laughed at the cloven tongues. Peter preached scripture to them. The laughing stopped. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the... What emphasis is that in your life? He preached God's word. He gave the word, and he gave a sense of it, the fulfillment of it. Okay? They were convicted by the preaching. What do we do? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Your testimony and the change in your life is a witness to them. You have something they don't have. That's what it ought to be. They don't get saved out of your salvation. They get saved out of believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Knowing that they've violated the law of God and they're sinners in need of a Savior. Because that's where we all start, isn't it? Amen. Okay, they're convicted. They repented of their disbelief and their crucifying of Jesus. They came to believe that Jesus Christ was Lord. Look at verse 36 there. Therefore let all the house of Israel surely know that God hath made the same Jesus that ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. They were said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. See, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's still tied some to the Old Testament, to the Jews, to the ministry of that, in that. That's a national baptism of repentance. For Israel, for crucifying their Messiah. For the promises unto you and to your children and all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word, see what happened? They what? you give it doesn't do them any good until they what? Receive it. Many as received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And they sold their possessions. Now, some of this wasn't what Holy Spirit wanted to do, because Israel, or the believers in Jerusalem, ended up, when they sold everything, next thing you know, they had to be supported by churches outside of Jerusalem. And New Testament teaches you, if a man provideth not for his own, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Men, provide for your own. Okay? And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, that eat their meat in gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord at the end of the church daily, such as should be saved. You know how they got saved? Those who were willing to believe. Okay, so you have that going down through there. They feared God. The miracles continued because it was a first reaching to the Jews. The Apostle Paul reached to the Jews at first, and finally, you know what you find when you read the book of Acts? You reject this, I go to the Gentiles. You reject this, I go to the Gentiles. You reject this, I go to the Gentiles. Okay? Because the people, their eyes are still got a mask on them. They're covered with their unbelief. It's harder to bring somebody from self-righteousness to God's righteousness than it is to bring them from unrighteousness to God's righteousness. Be very careful when you get to the place where you start thinking you're something. For when a man thinketh he is something when he is nothing, he what? Deceiveth himself. Those that compare themselves with themselves among themselves are not wise. Not about me, not about you, about Jesus. Be very careful. I don't care, man, woman, because what you do in your home, you will teach your kids. You know what they do? They carry it too far. They do. Everyone does. Okay? The kids, they rabbit it, they repeat it, they take it on, and they'll carry what you, and you already have a different understanding as an adult, they will carry it farther. Why do you think they have 18-year-olds go to war? Got a man back here. How old were you when you got called up again, Lieutenant Colonel? Mid-40s. He fought the good fight of faith while he was representing our country, helping another country get out of tyranny. But I guarantee you, he wasn't so ready to charge hell with a squirt gun as those 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old guys come out of Special Forces and Army Rangers and the Marines, the few, the proud, and the ones who run to the front, okay? That's the way the guys compete. Mamas, don't raise girls when they're males. They're going to be competitive. Women like men to be sensitive when everything is going good and nothing's wrong. You know who women started marrying when 9/11 happened? Policemen and firefighters. All those highly educated people down in New York City wanted someone who'd run into the building and carry them out, who'd give his life for them. Not somebody who says, oh, I'm so sorry. I hurt with you. Ah, nuts. You don't have to agree with me. Men and women are different, and God made them that way for a purpose. But young people, their emotions become extreme, and they will go to extreme lengths and things. So you have to be careful what you show them that is right. That's not in the lessons. That's the word of Legault. When I am old, told you, verbal diarrhea. All righty. They feared God. They were one doctrine. They saw more people saved. And the meaning from that is found in Leviticus. I won't read the whole passage, but you're going to find Pentecost and stuff. Leviticus 23, verses 4 through 22. Okay, because the Passover pictures the death of Christ. He's our sacrificial lamb. All right. Purge yourselves therefore of the old leaven, that ye may be of the new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The Passover. One of the nicest things I ever learned about the Passover is getting invited over to the Shelton's house to do, is that called Shabbat? The Passover? Seder. To go through the parts, the literal parts of the Jewish Seder, for the night of the Passover, and then have Joe go through and explain how every one of those fit with Jesus Christ. For me, that was transformative in understanding that. I want you just to know that, okay? So, you wouldn't know that. Joe hides behind in the desk back there, quiet. Gifts help me to understand. Amen? Okay, so it's the picture of Christ. He was crucified during Passover. The unleavened bread was 7 days of eating unleavened bread. Leaven pictures sin. The first fruits took place on the first Sunday after Passover. That's the Feast of the First Fruits. There was a Sunday the disciples discovered Jesus had been resurrected, and Jesus is called what? The first fruits. And after them, Christ at his coming. Pentecost comes on Sunday, 50 days after first fruits. You find it all in Leviticus 23. It was a harvest festival. The appropriate time for God to bring spiritual harvest there, Pentecost. It was a harvest festival in the Old Testament. First, it was Pentecost, 50 days after the first fruits. You start reaping the harvest. They reaped 3,000 souls. That's a major difference in what was reaped when Moses came down off the mount with the law. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. He that comes to Christ, the law is dead to him now. He's alive through the Spirit of Christ. Does he do away with the law? No, he fulfills it, but it's not his salvation. The judgment of the law caused 3,000 souls to go into hell that day. The earth opened up and swallowed them when he came off the mountain, didn't it? 3,000 of them. Isn't that interesting? With the giving of the law, 3,000 died. With the giving of the Holy Spirit, 3,000 saved. Get the contrast? Neither be idolaters as some of them. As it was written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. That's what they did. That's what it's talking about when he come off the mountain. The church is pictured as a loaf of bread. You know that? We're feeding a lost and dying world spiritual bread. Jesus said, I am the bread of Christ. The two laves waved before the Lord. I can't read Leviticus 4 through 22 to remind us that it's Jews and Gentiles coming together. Two loaves. The Jews and a Gentile is everybody who's not a Jew. And then there's the body of Christ, who's everybody, Jew and Gentile, who's trusted in him. And all God's people said,